You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Mill, the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to follow the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts, to get the latest episodes. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. After a blowout win over Cleveland on Saturday night, the Heat were in a crucial battle for playoff seeding in Charlotte against the Hornets on Sunday. And at first, it very much had the feel of a playoff game. The offenses were both on fire. There was just a different energy level, big plays from both sides of the ball. And then Miami started to pull away late in the second quarter, but the half ended with a missed Goran Dragic layup, which wasn't so bad, but there was still too much time left on the clock, and the ball was actually rebounded by LaMelo Ball. And in just his second game back from injury, he wound up throwing an incredible outlet pass to Terry Rozier, who had broken free, and he laid it up to cut Miami's lead to 7. It had the feel of the moment of very much the hashtag of course here, right? Miami looked again to be pulling away in that second half, and then Ball throws that outlet pass, a hell of a play individually, cutting the lead. And then, you know, of course, there's always the dreaded third quarter hanging over everything. And there was the feel that maybe that might be a potential momentum swinging moment. Well, not quite. Miami actually controlled the third quarter pretty convincingly. Dwayne Dedmon continues to be a stellar, efficient scorer, rebounder, just impact player in a limited amount of time. He wound up scoring 10 of his 14 points in the third quarter. Duncan Robinson wound up knocking down 2 of his 3-pointers from beyond the arc, and the Heat went into the fourth quarter with a 20-point lead. It was just a dominant corner for Miami, and they just absolutely controlled the game from that point forward. And while the Hornets were able to chip away at the lead ever so slightly in the fourth, the end of the game was never really in doubt as the Heat cruised to a 122-111 win. Again, that wasn't particularly close. The final score would seem to indicate that it was a lot closer than it was. I know there were a lot of people concerned that Malik Monk or somebody else would catch fire and maybe eat away at this blown lead, or maybe help, you know, help Miami just give up the lead as they have in the past. But I actually questioned why Eric Spoelstra still had 3 starters on the floor. Jimmy Butler didn't play at all in the fourth quarter, but he had Kendrick Nunn out there for the full 12 minutes of the period. He had Trevor Ariza and Bam Adebayo. Ariza in particular seemed like a bad decision because he had rolled his ankle earlier, and while I understand the need to kind of get him back into playing shape, you don't want to risk injury at this point in the season. You can't take that chance. And so I mentioned I didn't think it was a particularly good decision from Spo to leave it out there, leaving those 3 players in particular out there. But a lot of you were concerned that Charlotte would find a way to come back. And sure, I guess it seemed like that was possible after Malik Monk hit a couple 3-pointers, but I didn't really think it was ever in doubt. Like, something would have happened. They would have had to bring somebody back in. But you trust that, I don't know, Max Strus can do enough, that Gabe Vincent can do enough to keep a 22-point lead intact. It just seemed like a strange decision on Spoel's part. But that's the only complaint of the game. Really, it was overall just a really good game. It was monumental in terms of helping control your destiny regarding playoff seeding and things of that sort. All season long, Eric Spoelstra has talked about the importance of building towards something, trending in the right direction as you near the playoffs, establishing good habits all season long, especially in a season that has been so completely and totally chaotic as this one. And he mentioned in the postgame presser as well that he just thought that Miami was clicking at the right time, that so many of their star players, that so many of their guys, period, were just finding a way to contribute. And he was encouraged after the win. I won't ever go so far as to say that Spo looks giddy after a regular season victory, because those ultimately don't mean that much to him. But I do think he was feeling pretty positive about Miami's overall second straight blowout and just a big convincing win against a team that was fighting for playoff seeding as well. Spo talked about this too, and I think it's important and worth bringing up that teams around the league are playing their best around this time, not just Miami. Miami seems to be playing maybe a shade better than everybody else. But around the league, you know, everybody's giving it their all. There's so much at stake with every game. So many teams are still in the playoff chase. But the Heat just seem to have something a little bit better than everybody else right now. They've won 3 in a row. They've won 7 of 9. They're 6th in the standings, although they're tied with Atlanta, the 5th seed, at 35-30. And they're 5 games over 500 for the first time all season. Can you believe that? The first time all season. They're a full game over the Boston Celtics, who lost tonight versus Portland. And they are actually going through some injury issues as well, potentially. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown had a late game collision. Evan Fournier has been out for part of the season since he was acquired by from the Orlando Magic, because he tested positive for COVID, and now he's in the recovery phase. He had a really good game tonight, but Boston just seems to be as inconsistent as Miami has been, at least from the fan perspective, perhaps even more so. And look, they're 3.5, the Heat are 3.5 games over Charlotte at this point, who are just basically treading water. It was a huge boost to get LaMelo Ball back. He seems to be a pretty solid player overall, but they've been without Gordon Hayward for a long period of time, and I'm not sure that they're going to get him back anytime soon. So for Miami, they're just able to continue to pull away from these teams that are clawing with them for positional seeding in the Eastern Conference standing. So just an overall positive win. It's hard not to blow out an opponent for a second straight game. And Miami's had a few of those. They've had one over the Houston Rockets. They had one over the San Antonio Spurs in the same stretch where they've been winning most of their games. With the exception of that loss to the undermanned Atlanta Hawks team and maybe the second game of a back-to-back set versus the Chicago Bulls, it's been a pretty good stretch for Miami. I think you're still going to see occasional moments of inconsistency from them. Their ceiling isn't particularly high. Although, at least their regular season ceiling. And I hate to make this point over and over again, but I do feel like there is, when you have Jimmy Butler on this team, it kind of just, you see it in moments here and there. Games, just even in tonight's game, there was just a moment there where he stole a pass and then broke free for an enthusiastic dunk that we rarely see from Jimmy. Jimmy is rarely, not to say he's not emotive, but you can never really feel that the all-encompassing passion and determination, because he's so precise, because he is so damn good that he can control the pace of the game and just kind of pick and choose his spots when to be impactful. I think it's a comfort level that he can reach that because he's so good that he doesn't always have to be the best version of himself, because it's hard. Probably another part of it too is that it's hard to exert yourself so completely, but if it's necessary, he'll do it. And yes, it can kind of breed, I won't go so far as to say perhaps complacency, but maybe just not full engagement 100% of the time. You know, you want your players to be engaged all the time, but that's unrealistic. It's hard to do that for a prolonged period of time. And so I feel like with Jimmy, he's just so good where he you know, has the ability to pick and choose his spots, when to look like he's at 100%. And tonight, there was just a moment there where it just seemed like it mattered more to him. And he was personally, again, willing this team to victory. Now, they got a number of contributions from a number of players, Jimmy included. But I think Jimmy is still the emotional barometer for this team. Like, he inspires them all to greatness. And I think that's what tonight's game was all about. It was a chance to kind of tell the Hornets, you're not there yet. You're not ready. You can't compete with us. We've got our eyes set on the Hawks. We're still going to win the division. Not that the division really means anything, but more than just to prove everybody else, we're still here. This is still the team that went to the finals. You still got to go to us, through us, if you want to get out of the Eastern Conference. It's nice for them to be able to exert their will so completely in a game like that. And yeah, look, the Hornets were incomplete without Hayward. That's fine. Miami's still without Victor Oladipo as well, of course. So I just think Miami had an opportunity here to say, this game is one that matters to us. Eric Reed mentioned before the game how they've got this game circled on their schedules and things of that sort. And yeah, I think the players didn't want to talk about that. They're never going to say that one game matters more than any of them. They're going to say all of them matter, especially at this point in the season. And they do. They're absolutely right. But let's say they had a little extra bit of incentive. They got a day off. You know, they take on the Dallas Mavericks on Tuesday. It was the second game of a back-to-back set. Again, they were playing in Cleveland on Saturday, then played in Charlotte on Sunday. And for them to be able to blow out both teams as convincingly, huge statement game for them. And I think they're trending in the right direction. That's all you can possibly hope for. Is this team still capable of winning the championship? I think so. I think that they are as good as any team in a seven-game series, that they'll find a way to win. Can they get swept? Just as easily. We've seen these moments from this team, but we've also seen enough from Jimmy and from Bam and from Goran Dragic, who I'll talk about in the next segment, because I think he's starting to play his very best basketball of the season, and I think it's made a huge difference for Miami. And, of course, it will make a huge difference for them in the playoffs as well. But if you're looking to make a difference with your company and you are the hiring director for your company, then what you need is Indeed, because they help you make a short list of quality candidates and they just make your life easier. It's the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. You post, you screen, and you interview all on Indeed. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description and you get it faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. They make connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. You can choose from more than 130 skills tests, then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for the applications that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. I'll be honest with you, I've never even heard of other job sites. But if you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offers valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions do apply. You probably notice it even during this recent stretch of winning basketball for Miami, where there is that those minutes there where Jimmy Butler isn't on the floor, even if Bam's still out there. And you're looking at that mishmash of talent that's out there for Eric Spoelstra, and it's not quite a lineup. It's not quite any kind of consistent rotation. You don't know where your scoring is going to come from. And you wonder to yourself, oh, Jimmy's going out with a lead. He's going to come back and the Heat are going to be down 10 and he has to try and build their ass back up again. That wasn't the case today. He sat out, and when he came back, Miami still had a lead. They held on to a pretty decent sized one too while he was missing for, was able to get a much needed and well-earned rest. And part of that was Miami's bench got some really huge contributions from a couple players in particular. Goran Dragic, to me, it might not have been the star of the game, but you're probably not going to get much more of an unheralded performance and a stellar one at that, because he played 30 minutes in tonight's game after having played 29 in the blowout win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. On the second night of a back-to-back, you think, well, maybe you don't want to push Goran to this level. Maybe you don't necessarily want to. In fact, he was questionable before tonight's game, and he got some work done. He got some treatment. He said he was good to go because, of course, Goran Dragic always wants to compete as much as possible, and Eric Spoelstra said, okay, sure. They were without Tyler Hero, so they needed some scoring punch. Maybe they would have gotten it from Max Strus, or maybe they would have gotten it from Gabe Vincent. Strus, in fact, wound up playing 21 minutes, and I'll talk about him later on in this segment. But they were going to need somebody else to step up in that backcourt. They didn't really have a whole hell of a lot of options. Luckily, they didn't need one. Goran Dragic was phenomenal. Very early on, it looked like he was, if not, I hate using it, but vintage Goran. But he was pretty damn close. He wasn't even shooting particularly well from the perimeter, just 1 of 6 from three-point range, but still able to get to the rim, using his floater, got to the line three times. I mean, that's pretty solid for this version of Goran at this point in his career. He's just never been a guy who's drawn a lot of fouls. As physical as he's been, he's just never gotten the benefit of the whistle more often than not. And it didn't matter. 7 of 18 from the field, all of that almost in the mid-range. You take away his 1 of 6 shooting, he was 6 of 12. That's, 50%, pretty solid. He was a plus 11 out on the floor and 18 points, also chipped in 2 rebounds and a steal. Just a good, polished game from Goran. His playmaking is so essential. And I feel like I kind of half-jokingly tweeted that maybe he was hustling us all season long, because he wound up having a fast break opportunity, I want to say at the end of the quarter, where he covered the expanse of the whole court within just a couple of seconds. And I didn't really think he had that kind of burst. We just haven't seen that consistently all season long. And I wonder if he just has that kind of timing, right? And I've spoken about this before, but I do think it's an important point. Like, these players, they have like their internal clock. We hear it with baseball a lot because it's such a long ass season. You start spring training in February, March at times. And then by the time the season starts in late March or early April, you play for the next 7 months, it seems. It's almost an interminable season. And I know the regular season for baseball isn't that long either, but in basketball, you just have your timing. And I feel like with a player like Goran, especially at this stage in his career, we saw it from Andre Iguodala. We're seeing it from Trevor Ariza. I think older guys in particular, maybe it just kind of takes them a little bit longer. Maybe they're kind of a macrocosm of what Jimmy does within an in-game kind of basis, where these older guys kind of just take a step back and they're able to say, you know what, young fella, I can't give it 100%. I'm not LeBron. I can't give it 100% in October. I'm not going to. You know, especially after the shortest offseason in NBA history. I'm just not going to play out there in December the way you want me to. I'm going to take a few games off. I'm going to struggle in January and February. But you know what? Once April rolls around, that's when it feels like the playoffs. And that's when I'll start to play a little bit more engaged, a little bit more energized, more familiar of the kind of version of myself that you're expecting. And I think we're seeing that. You know, we're seeing that to some extent with Andre, too. Like, he's still a contributor out there. Even when he's not scoring, he was just 1 of 3 from the floor today. He just winds up making the right plays. And I know there have been some questionable decisions from him. I think he's trying too much, even at this point, where he's trying to be the playmaker everybody hopes he can be. And there are still moments like that. You know, he did finish with 2 assists on the night. But overall, I don't know that that's necessarily the strength of his game. It has to be almost the perfect opportunity. He's so good at making the right pass that leads to the right play, that leads to a score. You know, he is Mr. Hockey Assist, because he just sees the floor so well. He always has, saw it with Golden State, and it was, well, he was able to be the beneficiary, just as Steph and Clay were, of, you know, having to play alongside the two best shooters in the league at that point in time. Sorry, because Duncan Robinson wasn't in that league. So he was just able to see the floor better. And he's always been able to get the most out of those teams. And whenever he's on the floor, always been a positive contributor. And he's still doing that to a certain extent. Not quite the way he was. But Goran, I think we're starting to see him pick up a little bit. And look, he didn't play particularly well against Cleveland. It didn't really matter. He didn't have to have his A game, because that was a blowout late too. And, you know, he only played 29 minutes then, but I didn't know that he was going to be playing back-to-back games. I didn't think he was going to be out there on Sunday. I understand that he was necessary, but I still didn't think he was going to be able to go out there and to go out there as well and have the kind of overall impact. He looked quick. His decision-making was perfect. He had some really great moments, and it looked like he might be the kind of contributor that Miami needs in order to have a deep playoff run. Now, in addition to Goran, you can't talk about anybody else other than Dwayne Dedmon either. 13 minutes of play, 14 points. I just can't seem to understand exactly how and why he's so easily ignitable on offense. Like, it seems like as soon as he's out there, he's making a positive impact. It's a missed shot, and he's the biggest guy out there in a league. And look, Charlotte, somewhat undersized at the center position. They started P.J. Washington, who was giving Miami fits early on because of his floor-stretching ability. He finished 3 of 6 from three-point range, 9 of 13 from the field overall for 21 points. Bismack Biyombo, obviously not an offensive threat, but, you know, a fairly decent-sized center too. Cody Zeller wound up playing 5 minutes late in the game, and by that point it didn't really matter. But for Dedmon, he's just imposing himself in the low point. Now, he wound up having a little jumper that it kind of seemed to get him cooking a little bit early on. Also got to the line 5 times, so he's drawing fouls against these undersized players. But he finished 5 of 6 for the floor and had 8 rebounds to boot. This is a solid contributor here. And I mentioned that, I know, in a recent podcast last week, that I have concerns about the fact that you're relying this heavily on Dwayne Dedmon. But maybe it's just, I saw the comparison on the timeline. You know, Chris Anderson, the Birdman, joining this team in 2013, and then all of a sudden finding a way to, even as he's just getting his wind back, right? Like, he was able to kind of chip in and bring energy, block shots, pull down rebounds. Maybe it can work, right? Like, that guy was a good, solid contributor on a team with a lot more top-end talent. I don't know. Maybe I'm being far too negative about the fact that Dwayne Dedmon is able to contribute at this stage in the season when your roster is almost 100% complete and you just pick up this guy who hasn't played basketball in a long time. And I know with Anderson, there was a drug suspension and everything else, and no team really wanted him. And so Miami was able to pick him up for virtually nothing and give him an opportunity to cash in and get paid and win a championship, and he did all those things. But they also had LeBron James. They also had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. It's not like they needed that much in order to get him over the hump, and yet Anderson wound up being a really solid contributor. Now, I don't know to what extent Deadman's going to go and continue to be this instant offense, this microwave-type player, but for now, at least ride it for as long as you can. You know, get what you can out of him for as long as you're playing him out there, and hope. I know, look, Anderson wound up being a contributor against the Spurs in the finals, so I feel like Deadman's still going to be able to chip in no matter how deep Miami's playoff run is. You always could use a big man who can rebound and score. I just never saw him being this effective. And I'll tell anybody else who says they did see it is a liar. I have to believe that. You know, at no point in Dwayne Dedmon's short career in the NBA as a contributor or player or anything like that has he been this good. Never. He's just finding a way to be the most impactful and effective version of himself. And maybe it's a desperation with understanding that your career is on the line here, that you're not going to get a lot more opportunities after having been out of the league for basically a year. But he's making the most of that opportunity. Good for him, because he looks good out there. I'm telling you, he looks like he's an impactful player. He does have that nice shooting touch. He does get to the rim pretty easily. He's not bad on defense either. He finds a way to switch on occasion. He can move his feet, and he's long enough, tall enough, and athletic enough to block a shot too. So it's not, even if he's out of position, he can kind of make up for it and still impact your shot. And he's a big enough body where you might not feel 100% comfortable going up against him when, you know, you're trying to put up a floater or get to the rim or something like that. So to me, it's just impressive to see Deadman still contributor at this point. Max Strus deserves a shout out. Again, 21 minutes of play, 3 of 8 from the floor. Not quite as good shooting night as you expect from Strus, but look, I know he's only getting playing time because Tyler's not out there. But I like Strus. I like his ability to contribute. I think he's maybe in limited minutes. It seems to me that he's more versatile, particularly defensively, than Tyler Hero. But he's just not a playmaker, although he did have 2 assists on the night. And his catch-and-shoot ability, I don't know. Look, you get a good game from Max and you feel pretty comfortable about it, but still, you're not going to be able to rely on a guy like Max Strus. You don't want him to. He's good in case of emergency, right? To break the glass and get a Max Strus game out of it is always a nice addition, but not one that you're counting on. But the one guy that you are counting on, well, actually, 2 guys that you're counting on, they had pretty good games too, and even though we won't be talking about them as much, they deserve their flowers in the next segment. Just a reminder that you're listening to Locked On Heat. And if you want to make a little money, go to BetOnline because it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. This week has tons of sports action. The NFL draft just wrapped up, but you got the Kentucky Derby also under wraps. But there's so much going on with the latest news, odds, and info and all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA playoffs right around the corner, and the NHL. So much is going on. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. And when you're done making a little money on BetOnline, reward yourself by getting a Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever, 18 amazing flavors. You've surely tried them all by now. And if you haven't, you're doing yourself a huge disservice because they're all great. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. You don't even know you're eating a protein bar, but they're great for you. They're great for health conscious people. If you're looking to indulge in a little treat and still have a healthy snack, then Built Bars are the ones for you because they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for all sorts of diets. And best of all, if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCK15, you'll get 15% off your next order. The great thing about that is you can build a box with all of your favorite different flavors. It comes in. So, look, there's so many different flavors. You can mix and match, give them away to family members and coworkers. You'll be the hit of every party. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Get Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Time to give the superstars their due. Yeah, you got some good contributions off the bench, but this game doesn't happen. This victory does not happen without Bam Adebayo in particular. I think as good as Jimmy is and was and will be, I feel like Bam Adebayo just had a bigger overall impact in his minutes of play. Like maybe it's kind of hard to quantify. Overall, I think more productive, led all the team in, with 20 points per, as a starter, wound up having 10 assists too, 7 rebounds. Look, either he or Jimmy are a walking triple-double. That's a phenomenal stat line right there. One that won't get any attention because, you know, you've got Luka Doncic putting up 20 assists in Dallas. That's Miami's next opponent, by the way. Luka Doncic coming into town on Tuesday. That'll be a fun one. Expect a huge Slovenian contention out there because that's going to be a primetime affair between Goran Dragic and Luka Doncic. But look, Bam Adebayo, 20-7-10 on the night. Jimmy, 18-8-8. And doing it with defense, both of them, obviously. Defensive Player of the Year candidate Bam Adebayo. That momentum is building speed, and I'm all for it. I'll be talking to Michael Pina of Sports Illustrated later on this week when he explains his recent piece about Bam's candidacy as probably the best defensive player in the league, if not the defensive player of the year, which is an interesting, specific way of looking at the situation. Bam is just a fun defender who can do so much, and certainly we see that on a nightly basis. It's just, look, it's not a knock on Rudy Gobert. It's not a knock on Joel Embiid or Matisse Thybulle or Ben Simmons or the 18 other candidates that the Philadelphia 76ers seem to have for Defensive Player of the Year. But Bam just is at another level. He has been since he joined the league, and he'll continue to get better and better. Miami Heat fans are lucky that he is part of this team. But Jimmy Butler, look, his phenomenal stat line notwithstanding, he's also able to get to the line and slow the pace down. Again, it's a matter of exerting his will. There's the hammer and the sickle, right? I mean, this isn't communist propaganda, so please don't take it as such. But in kind of a metaphorical way of looking at it, the hammer kind of beats you upside the head. I would say that's Jimmy. And then the sickle kind of finds a way to slice into you as far as Bam Adebayo is concerned. Maybe you could use the metaphor in either one. I don't know. But it's just, I like the two-man approach there. Like they are the head of the snake, right? And one of them can do it so effectively by getting to the line, by picking his spots. And then you've got Bam consistently attacking mismatches, something that we haven't seen from him very regularly over the course of his short career. But it seemed like every time he had a Michael Bridges on him or Alonzo Ball or a Rozier in the low post, he was going to find a way to get his points, to find a way to draw a foul, to get to some kind of action, you know? Whether it was, even if it was just commanding a double and then you would see a wide open shooter from the perimeter, that's something that Bam has been doing increasingly better. And that's a huge point of evolution for him because that's something he has not been comfortable with up to this point in his career. But Jimmy also just phenomenal overall play, leading Miami in the right way. And for him to be able to sit out the fourth quarter of both the Cleveland Cavaliers game on Saturday and against the Hornets on Sunday, that's the kind of rest he's earned. He needs it, and he looks good. He looks steady. He looks able to just kick it into the next gear there. It's always impressive to be able to see Jimmy just be able to pick his spots, and I think that remains one of his greatest strengths. And hopefully he'll be able to pick those spots a little bit more carefully. And look, Miami's roster is still, missing a couple of key players. I'm not sure what happens with Victor Oladipo this season. I'm starting to lean more and more towards the possibility of him not coming back, and I feel like that might be the ultimate jinx. That means he's probably going to come back within the next week. But even still, given what Kendrick Nunn's been able to accomplish, and I feel like I have not talked about enough. I tweeted him about him a lot because I feel like he's very deserving of that recognition. 8 of 13 from the floor in 37 minutes of play, unfortunately playing the whole 12 minutes of the fourth quarter. 19 minutes off the bench. I'm sorry, not to the bench. 19 points in total. And I think I saw the numbers going around that he's somewhat flirting with the historic 50-40-90 club, shooting 90% from the free throw line, 40% from three-point range, and 50% from the field overall. And that's that's some high end level competition there. Like he's there with, you know, Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki, and a few others. Not a lot of people in that group. And for him to be among them is an incredible honor for him, and indicative of how he's been able to turn things around. Like, he just seems much more polished. He deserves his flowers too. Look, there's other things that I want to talk about. It's late. It's a big victory. And that's what you can take away from all this. You can look at Miami's defense improving, and certainly I'll talk about that in tomorrow's show. There's other aspects here of everybody's game that have taken a significant leap. And maybe you still have concerns about whether or not the Heat are title contenders. But none of that matters. You've got 7 games left on the season. Miami's building in the right direction. A huge win for them. A real opportunity for them to make a statement. And what that was is that the Miami Heat are still a pretty damn good basketball team. Just a reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. Special thanks to all of our sponsors for supporting today's episode. And thanks to all of you. I'm David Ramil, signing off for now.